Exodus 34, verse 14. I was thinking about that devotion there, and it's just how sad when the solution could very well be just that parents train their children up in the way that they should go. If reading to your child gives them an advantage, then what an easy and quick way to advantage your child. And is that not the job and the role of a parent? To give their children every tool and every ability that is possible? Do we not have the Bible? Do we not have children's books everywhere? Do they not give them away for free when they've become a little tattered at the library? Do we not find them in little libraries all over the place? We've got one on our street. It was one of the first things that I saw. You know those little libraries, you'll go out there, you'll see people have them set up, and you could leave a book and you could take a book. Somebody put one of those in front of their house on our street. And the kids like to go down there and they'll swap a book around every now and then. There are books everywhere. And yet, in this world, this one person at least stands up and says, "Oh, it is unfair. Unfair to read to your kids to leave others to be disadvantaged." What form of classism, racism, or ignorance could that be? Are there people out there incapable of exposing their children to knowledge? Have we not built society to be able to edify and teach and educate? We have. What a sad thing we see in this world. And when you hear people say that this is the way the world is going, we can no longer roll our eyes in doubt. When we've come to the idea that it is better to disadvantage all than to encourage others to do basic, necessary things, we've learned now how deep we've gone. It is a bad deal. We've gone the wrong way. But Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14 gives us our next name, Elkanah. Elkanah. The jealous God, or the God who is jealous. That sounded like a silly thing to say there, but verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now, when we say jealous, I don't mean the kids went back to Brother Dennis and somebody took the last cowtail and the last child who didn't get one was jealous. We are talking in that case of an equal opportunity thing where someone got left out and they want something they can't have. That is not the jealousy we see with God. What do we mean when we say that God is a jealous God? We mean to say that He is the only God. He is the Creator God who is standing and watching His children, His creation, go off and worship other things. Many parents, and I hope you've not experienced this, and if you haven't, I hope you never do, but they have had it to where they've raised children, they have sacrificed for their children, they have put everything they could on the line for their children, just for those kids to be in a position to thank somebody one day, and they thank a completely different woman or a completely different man, and say, "That is the mother or father I never had." And you get to sit in the wings and be the one who gave all, and be treated as though you were secondary to some other person. I believe that those who have experienced that only experience a fraction of what it's like for God, because God did everything for us. He created this world. He knew what we would be. He watched us fall. He gave His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Instead of just destroying us the way that He should, He has watched His people, the people He selected out and cared for and provided for, He watched them worship false god after false god. He watched as they brought those idols into the temple. He has watched church after church abandon the Bible for the writings, ideals, and opinions of man. So when we say that God is a jealous God, that is what we mean. We mean that of all the things on earth that we worship, we neglect the God who created all things. The God who loves us, the only true God. There's people that worship money. And they quickly learn that money doesn't love them, money doesn't care. There are people who worship power and prestige, right? You think about the current president we have right now, gave his whole life into politics. And how does it end? Does it end with applause? Does it end with wonder? No, it ends with everybody wondering whether or not he's got his mind together. That's what searching for power gets you. In the end, they laugh at you and they jeer at you. Well, what about the president before then? Well, how'd that go? They laugh at him and they jeer at him. That's the way it goes. You seek for power and you're taught humility. Maybe you were part of those that worship stone gods, brass gods, gold gods, silver gods. And what must they do? They have to be the ones who go in there and polish and shine and see the fragility and the emptiness of those gods. They speak to metal that cannot hear them. They speak to rocks that does not care. When we say God is a jealous God, we mean God is one who's done everything for us. We have turned our backs on him, and it's angered him. Of all the ways that people like to hear about God on a Sunday morning, God's anger, God's wrath, is not on the top of the list. Many people don't like to talk about this aspect of God, but it is possible for us in how special and wonderful and unique we are to irritate God. As we see here, he tells us not to do it. Why? Because he is the one true God. Looking at your notes, Exodus 20 verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Don't worship these false gods. I will bring down wrath. And he has every right to do so. And that's what's so sick and twisted about this world and so sick and twisted about modern Christianity. They forget we deserve God's indignation. Gave us perfection and wonderment and gave us love and joy and gave us a beautiful garden to live in. And what did we do? The moment somebody said we could overthrow God, we took that opportunity. And we've been disappointing God and disobeying God and angering God and making war against God ever since. We make war with God with what we talked about this morning, the philosophies that we come up with. Well, better not read to any children. It's only fair that way. And if somebody must read to them, let it be a man in an over-sexualized woman's clothing. Then we're okay with reading to them. Only when we can make merchandise out of them for some pedophile can we read to them. You don't need church. You need to just believe in yourself. You need to be focused on yourself. You need to worship yourself. As did every murderer, rapist, and fanatic in prison right now. They did what pleased them. We got to be careful what we teach and preach. When we preach and teach godly things, when we focus on God, when it is a godly philosophy we have, it strips us of what we want to do when it comes down to hurting other people, makes us see the light of day, forces us to be compassionate and kind, forces us to be forgiving. However, when we give in to our more baser desires, calling it our truth, then we hurt people. You give that kind of power to certain people, and they'll burn the world down around us. No, we need one God. And it cannot be us. It says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. This world, no doubt, by God's own admission, hates him. And we know this. We've proven this. We all hear it. Again, you ever doubt? You know, I've said that in congregations before, not here, but I've said this in other places, and I saw people go, oh, this world hates God. And if you don't believe me, you go give the gospel to somebody. You go talk about God in a place, and you'll see the hate, and you'll see the indignation. Mankind is not an innocent creature. In our basest of instincts, we hate God because God tells us things about ourselves we don't like. What do you mean I'm not allowed to do this? What do you mean I'm not allowed to have that kind of a marriage? What do you mean I'm not allowed to say that? What do you mean I'm not allowed to take this? We don't like it. But we can never forget that we spark off God's anger when we disobey Him, when we put other gods before Him, when we worship other things first. Exodus 34:14 in your notes, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." That's our key text there. That is who He is. You are mine. Why should anybody else have you? Why should Baal or Buddha or the gods of Christian Science, why should they have you when I made you? Many of you who have had children, you raised your children. How would you feel if they came to you every day and said, "I'd much rather live over in so-and-so's house. I hate it here. You have too many rules." I feel that way when it comes down to bringing the kids home from one of their grandparents' houses. Whew, that's tough. All right, do you want to get in the car? "No, I don't want to go in the car. I want grandma." "No, it's okay. We're just going to go home." "I don't want to go home. It's stupid." And they're crying in the back. And you're up in the front trying not to cry yourself, going, "Man, that hurts. That four-year-old just broke my heart." You know, just, it's rough. Imagine being the creator of the world, the creator of all the children, the creator of everybody. And you watch them forget you generation after generation. And you watch them create their own ideals and their own gods to replace you. We are His. We belong to Him. All right, these philosophers, the modern day humanists, even among modern day Christianity, they have fake gods. That's what they are. Even the atheists. "I don't believe in God." "No, you do believe in God. You just believe you're it. You believe you're God. You're your own. What you say is right is right. What you say is wrong is wrong." But that's not the way this world works. What God has for us is far better than what we could create in and of ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" You know, I think about that every now and then. We used to have the Lutheran church in Flat Rock always tried to keep up with the times. You know what I mean? They were less of a Lutheran, more like a non-denominational type thing in what their practices were. You know, if there was a good movie on or there was something that people liked, I wouldn't say a good movie, but if there was a popular movie in the theaters, they would have some kind of a themed service to go along with it. And I know many others do that as well. And it didn't matter what that theme was. You know, I think one time they did one of those slasher flicks. And I thought, what a blasphemous thing to bring into the house of God. Blood, gore, and disgusting behavior like that. And you got the pastor dressed up as the bad guy from that movie. What a flaming joke. What an embarrassment. You can't drink from both sides. You can't sit there and deny God and refuse to pray and refuse to read your Bible, but you're sitting there looking at your cell phone a-giggling. And I'll tell you what, those the little electronic devices, they've replaced God in many a person's heart and mind. We spend more time on them than we do with the Lord. Spend more time in front of the television. I saw a cartoon probably back in the early 2000s, late 90s, back before we really had the portability of a lot of things. And it just showed a family bowing down in front of the television set. Not that it's wrong to watch TV, But let's face it, if you skipped your Bible reading and you put in 4 hours in front of the television, who's your God? If you ain't prayed, but you spent 3 hours on Facebook, who's your God? If you don't have time to pray and read the Bible, you ain't got time to do the things a Christian ought to do, but you've got time for recreation, and you've got time for fooling around, and you've got time for sports or whatever, you got time for that, but you don't have time for God, who is your God? When it comes down to God, whether you're angry, happy, miserable, sad, your behavior ought to honor Him, yes? But that's not how we live. We plan everything based on what we want to do and how we want to act. And then we dare to say that we are Christians. Christ Himself said, "It's not me, but the Father that sent me." How many times did He say, "I'm only doing the will of my Father"? Even He obeyed God, being God Himself. So then who are we to put God on the second, third, fourth, or fifth shelf and say that we honor God first and foremost? You see that on a Sunday morning during the springtime. "Oh, sorry, Pastor, we can't come to church on Sunday morning. Little Johnny's got a baseball game. It's very important for us that Johnny goes and does the baseball game." I've seen this. You know what happens to Johnny? The promise goes like this. One day when he's no longer playing baseball, we'll be back full time in church. So whether the season's over or he graduates out, we'll be back in church. Johnny turns 18, 19, and 20. And guess what he's used to doing on a Sunday morning? Whatever little Johnny feels like. He never understood the purpose of church. And then what did mom and dad do now that it's all over? I've seen this too, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but it is the truth. What did mom and dad do? Then they repent. "Oh, we never should have taken our kids out of church on a Sunday morning for sports. That was a mistake. We feel bad. Hey, Pastor, now that we've introduced the idea to Johnny over the last 12 years that church is optional, we're having a hard time getting John to come to church." I've seen it time in and time again. We say one thing in church, we behave another way at home, and then somebody comes up to the pastor, "Oh, Pastor, my kids, I don't understand. Well, remember when I told you that was wrong and you rolled your eyes during the service? Well, you know, Well, that's how you got here. That's how you got here. Man, we were putting that roof. When I say we, I was mostly just helping. I didn't really know what I was doing. Putting that roof on my father-in-law's house. Somehow he got a hold of this, the snow guard. I don't know if you've ever worked with it. But it was the world's largest sheet of fly paper. It was a mouse trap. You know, the sticky, that's what it felt like. It was like trying to untangle fruit by the foot or a fruit roll-up in the 90-degree sun. It was just melty and sticky. I felt like a mouse that ran across a glue trap. That's what and we're stuck on it, and it's stuck on us, and it's picking up the little bits of stone from the shingles that we had put in over here that kind of got over there. And just it was a mess. It was a disgusting mess. I'm sitting there, and he's Michael Hugin's on the other side trying to think this thing through, and we're trying to get it into position, and he's stuck in it, and I'm stuck in it, and you know what? Neither one of us sat there and wondered how we got in this mess. We know how we got in that mess. This is sticky, this is awful, and we never want to use this stuff again. After we figured it out over there, we should have taken this back and gone back and gotten something else. But instead we kept going because we wanted to impress my father-in-law. And I'm like, he goes, "I don't want to hurt his feelings, so I'm just going to do whatever he says to do." I go, "Welcome to my world since the day I met his daughter." You know? How do we get in this mess? You made a series of purposeful decisions, rejecting the sound wisdom from the Word of God. And that's how you got in that mess. That's how it happened. When we had the opportunity to honor God, We served the television. We served the bank. We served whatever. The gods of baseball, the gods of football. We cannot drink from both cups. Now, that is not to say that there is not a place for the other things. There is time for baseball. I think kids ought to play sports. There is time to make money. There is time to recreate and have fun. There is time for a vacation. Man, I know some pastors, they get wild. Every time somebody goes out on vacation, they get wild. You ought to be here. I can't believe they missed. You know what? At least twice a year, please get out of here. Do something good for yourself. One of these days, maybe I'll do it. But you know, just, you ought to take a break every now and then. You ought to get out there. You know? And if you, I'm not sitting over here counting either. So if you're in your head going, all right, I've gone on four vacations. I wonder what the pastor's thinking. The pastor wasn't paying attention. You start disappearing for months at a time. For a month at a time, I'm coming for you. You know what I mean? We've got a few people who are out now, and they say, Pastor, I'm going to go visit family. Sister, I'll just call her out, Sister Barr. Pastor, I'm going to go see family. I don't know when I'm coming back. And you know what? Okay, wonderful. I understand. It's when you up and disappear makes me want to go tap on your door. Are you okay? And check your fly for windows. Check your window for flies, that sort of thing. You cannot drink out of both cups. But there's plenty of time for God-honoring things. There's plenty of time for body-resting things. For mind-entertaining things. But they cannot take God's place in life. Deuteronomy 5, verse 9 says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I think we already read this, did we not? If not, we'll read it again. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I know we've read this verse before, but just coming back to it, in this that we'll see that it's not just us that makes the mistake. We are passing these mistakes. We're passing these failures. We're passing these decisions down the line. We look around today and we say, well, the philosophies that we see today, we didn't have back in our day. Anybody ever experienced that? You did. You just had it in its infancy. While you were honoring God and seeking to please Him and seeking to honor Him, there were others in your generation inspired by the devil, inspired by things that they would like to do instead. We're trying to twist and pervert the world. And what did that create? That created the next generation. And that generation, there was many that honored God, but there was many more that followed after the traditions of the other one. And they had new fantasies and new ideas and how they could get away with doing whatever they felt like. These things have always been there. And we roll around in a circle. And these iniquities, these punishments, God will hold. And there will come a time when God brings forth judgment for the things we're doing now. And that judgment will hold. There are things that we will lose. We look at America. Folks, there's only so long that God is going to tolerate the stuff we are doing. Now, there's people out there that believe that America is the new Jerusalem. It's not. There's only so much more God will tolerate the things we are doing as a country. And once it hits, it's going to hit us, and it's going to deeply affect generations to come, which is why God must be the focus and the center of our decision making. We must love God first and foremost over anything else in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for You. Lord, I pray that if there be any part of us, Lord, any desire of us, any hobby of us, Lord, that takes Your place in our heart. I pray, Father, You bring us to repentance today. Lord, I just ask this, that You keep us humble. And Lord, help us to love You the way that we ought to. We are finite creatures. We can be problematic children. But Lord, I just pray this, that You continue to work with us with patience and love. And Lord, we love You. Lord, we're grateful for all of Your provisions and Lord, all of Your patience. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.